listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Today, I have with me Mark Dankoff. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, always glad to be here. Boy, we've got all kinds of headlines, all kinds of things.
And we'll get to the headlines in a second. I don't want to go off prematurely yet, because we've got to get Mr. T to cue up the music for the headlines. That's what we do nowadays.
Oh, okay.
But before jumping into that, I just want to say we're on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And Republic Broadcasting, that's the place where you go for news and headlines and for clicking on donate buttons and sending shekels. You also want to go to nationalbugle.com and download the Co-Certified app. The Co-Certified app, which tells you it helps you find products that aren't kosher or helps you keep away from products that aren't kosher. And speaking of products that aren't kosher, Mighty White Soap, it is certified not kosher. Not certified kosher, certified not kosher. Oh, no, actually, certified not kosher certified. That's what it is. It's certified not kosher certified. So if you want to be a Mighty White, buy Mighty White Soap. Mark, so we do have headlines, don't we?
Well, we have all kinds of headlines that are up at nationalbugle.com.
Okay, and yesterday I started swinging with the headlines. Mr. T, you have that music ready? Thank you. Okay, let's start. Hey, wait a minute. This isn't swing music. What is this, Mark?
This is martial music. The right kind of martial music for a show like this.
I'm
sure you don't know about this.
Das Panzerlied. You know, and Mr. T tells me when he downloaded this from YouTube, he had to sit through a Kirsten Gillibrand 2020 ad first.
Well, that's the case that multiculturalism is indeed still possible, despite David Duke and Fat Buchanan and me.
All right, well, let's go into those headlines. So we'll be blitzkrieging to the headlines today.
Great.
So what do we have?
Well, we have everything here. Reuters tells us that the death knell for May's Brexit deal has the official MP rejection of 344 to 286. Reuters also tells us that this probably means the death knell for Brexit from Brexit deal, and that the European Union is going to get what they least want, which is a British exit from Brexit, or actually a British affirmation of Brexit by leaving the European Union, minus a so-called deal. Then, of course, Press Television tells us today that, in fact, surrogate Facebook is working with a certain organization to sanitize things that Facebook deems to involve so-called white nationalism and white separatism, according to the definition of Zuckerberg, and an organization called Life After Hate, which is in turn working with an outfit called Possible in Seattle. Who are these folks? Who's backing these folks? One begins to get the smell, of course, of the ADL. One begins to get smell, the really rank smell lately, of the Southern Poverty Law Center and other like-minded groups and what's going on there. Daniel Lasari has a very, very interesting piece at Consortium News today entitled The Blair-Saudi Connection, or actually that's the basic subtitle of this article. The real title is Anti-Semitism and Double Standards, which covers the Blair-Saudi Arabian connection. Tony, as in Tony Blair, among many other things.
Tony Blair, one of Theresa May's predecessors.
Yes, absolutely. And Paul Craig Roberts tells us today at Lou Rockwell that a Ukrainian security official says that Ukraine shot down MH17, not the Russians. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise, mm-hmm. Right? And of course, I was published by the Tasnim News Agency of Iran this past week on the real spin not the mainstream media spin, but the real spin on what happened in New Zealand. We have the Chick-fil-A controversy here in San Antonio, as the San Antonio City Council, led by Mayor Ron the Tribe Nuremberg, decides that Chick-fil-A should be banned from serving its food at the San Antonio International Airport. We would be amiss if we didn't mention, folks, as a follow-up to a previous Patrick Slattery, Mark Dankoff broadcast on Democratic donor Ed Butt, that a second man who is in his house, Ed Butt's house, in fact died of a methamphetamine overdose. Boy, I was just absolutely shocked to read about that.
Imagine our shock.
Imagine our shock, folks. And, of course, Peter Van Buren at the American Conservative has a great piece entitled "It Was All a Lie." Russiagate was all a lie. And then, of course, you've posted a great Rachel Maddow meme that's up there on the big board. And then as we continue going through the headlines, it just now identified a CIA-related man who led the assault on the North Korean embassy in Spain. That comes to us from Lou Rockwell via Moon of Alabama. Paul Craig Roberts also tells us of Lou Rockwell that the Democrats are self-destructing. We certainly hope so, along with the Republicans. And then, of course, Joel P. Pollack at Breitbart informs us that the Southern Poverty Law Center is facing new racism, corruption, and sexual harassment claims. And at the very end of that piece, he repeats what Dr. David Duke said on the radio in a previous show, and that is that there is a Kamala Harris connection to the non-prosecution of one, what is this guy's name, Smollett?
Jesse Smollett. Well, whatever his name is, yeah. Kamala Harris and a Michelle Obama connection, too, that we're hearing a lot
exactly,
about.
Exactly, that this individual who is now looking into all of this stuff involving the South Harvey Law Center was a former chief of staff to Michelle Obama. That makes for very, very interesting reading. Very briefly today at on David Duke's show on Rents, in discussion of this whole issue of Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein, the late Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, that the real story on him and on the International Christian Embassy of Jerusalem and other Zionist fronts can be found in a piece that I wrote, by the way, in salute of the late Pastor Dale Crowley Jr. It's entitled "Pastor Dale Crowley and Faithfulness Unto Death." I penned that piece for both Christian News and the American Free Press quite some time ago, but folks, the real story on the Jewish control of narrative in Christian electronic media, in Christian media, and in so-called conservative media, it's all right there in that testimony to Pastor Dale Crowley Jr., which is up at National Bugle. And David Duke now has a copy of that article. And you've got a number of things out there, Patrick, under immigration and demographics, including who is Kimberly M. Fox, the Cook County official website. Who is this lady? Quite fascinating to take a look at the real background behind that. Folks, there are two important stories that you have to read on South Africa. One is, a video opposed to a print narrative. Simon Roche of Swedlanders from YouTube has part one of a video entitled "The Civil Defense Initiative for South African Farmers." And then another article that absolutely has to be looked at is an article by Dr. Don Boyes of CSN News, that stands for Common Sense News. Dr. Boyes talks about the real truth, the ugly truth, as it were, about South Africa. Absolutely pivotal that we take a look at that. I might even repost that one to get it up closer to the top of the headlines. And, of course, there are Russian things going on in Venezuela. The U.S. is having trouble with Turkey over both Venezuela and Russia.
Wow.
And so we've got all kinds
of
stuff.
We've got all kinds of stuff. Okay.
Steve Cohen, by the way, chronicles the real costs of Russiagate from The Nation. That's up on our news board as well.
That's definitely a must read. Okay, thanks, Mr. T, for that music. And, I want to... Where else are you going to hear that?
I can't stomp my feet. I nail all over the floor, but that's the general idea for some really great theme music for these headlines.
Absolutely. So, Now, you've got this take on the New Zealand shooting. So, what is it? How has it been spun, and what are you finding out about it?
Well, basically what I told the Iranians at Tasnim News Agency, a very fine young journalist by the name of Javad Arab Shirazi interviewed me for this whole issue of the New Zealand massacre. And what I said to the Iranians in that piece that is on our news board under other news, I will also publish this with Mark Gankos America with several additional links beyond what I gave Tasnim at the time. We need to look at the deeper picture. And this is what I was telling Press Television and what I have also said here to the Tasnim News Agency. We don't accept the mainstream narrative on Palestine and Iran and Venezuela, those of us on the real American right, any more than those fine folks in Iran do. So why should we accept the mainstream media narrative on these mass shootings and the identity of the or persons who conduct these criminal operations? And the point is that in terms of this gentleman that was the ringleader of what happened in New Zealand, all kinds of things continue to come in about this guy's background that raise questions that would undermine mainstream media narrative. I've simply said to my friends in Iran, look at these articles and give pause for analysis as to what that might mean that contradicts the mainstream narrative, not only on the New Zealand massacre, but on so many other cases like this and so many other important cases historically that have happened in both American and world history that were given a particular slant that as time passed were proven entirely all wrong. That's basically what I urge not only the Iranian people who published this in English at Tasnim News Agency this past week, but the American people and people around the world, including those folks in New Zealand. Take a look at the comparisons of this incident to previous incidents where the mainstream media has ultimately been proven wrong. And then I provided for the Iranians, which to their credit, they published the links that I provided them on what Pat Buchanan had to say about New Zealand. And of all people, my friend Eric Pratt at Gun Owners of America, his father Larry Pratt was an acquaintance of mine years ago in both the Republican Party and the Constitution Party. The Gun Owners of America piece by Eric Pratt contradicts the New Zealand narrative as to how all of this plays out when it comes to firearms and the legitimate use of firearms and the whole question of gun control and gun control legislation that would not have stopped this situation in New Zealand under the circumstances that the present Prime Minister of New Zealand insists would be the case as she continues to declare gun control measures by executive fiat. So that's basically the spin that I gave the Iranians on this. As Jesus Christ put it in the Olivet Discourse, watch and wait.
Watch and wait.
Watch and wait. And in this particular case, the longer we watch and the longer we wait, narratives come in about this shooter, Mr. Brendan Talant, I believe was his name in New Zealand.
And is that his real name?
Joseph, that's his real name. Mm-hmm. And as you study his what might be his legend, and I compared Talant to Oswald, I compared him to James Earl Ray. I compared him to Arthur Bremer, who shot George Wallace and some of these other people, Sirhan Sirhan and the RFK thing. And I said, hey, look at all of those situations and all of the evidence now that the mainstream media spin on these people and the fact that they were operating alone and that they had this twisted motive or that twisted motive for what they did. We now know that there's a whole other story on these people and on these narratives in regard to why they murdered the people that they did. And then look at this pattern as it pertains to the New Zealand shootings. And just watch and wait. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Begin to think about information that's going to continue coming in that contradicts the official lot. And that's what I encourage our own people to do. Don't rush to judgment, as Mark Lane would have put it very well in regard to the Kennedy assassination in the 1960s. Don't rush to judgment now in regard to the New Zealand narrative or any of these other things that conveniently fit a pattern every single time playing into a particular agenda, the tribal agenda, the world government agenda, the disarming of those who don't agree with these agendas on the part of people who are principled people, who are not mass murderers, who are not racists, and who are genuinely concerned that we are moving into a new era in regard to world government, in regard to international surveillance techniques and American surveillance techniques that violate our constitutional rights, including the First Amendment right, and that the First Amendment right is linked to the Second Amendment right to own firearms. And in fact, the same people trying to get us off the waves and out of print media are the same people who don't want illegitimate, honest people owning weapons.
Right. So I've I've looked at it to an extent. I did watch the video, and which, by the way, if you watch the video in New Zealand, you're facing 10 years in prison. If you share the video, it's 14 years in prison.
And that's a whole other issue, isn't it? The mainstream narrative working with Zuckerberg to make sure that people, and I haven't seen the video, but people cannot see this video for themselves and evaluate what's there. I find that to be a frightening Orwellian exercise.
And I'm not an expert on these things. But, you know, it looked kind of like a shoot-'em-up game in a way. But I have no reason to believe that this guy who he starts the video by saying, subscribe to PewDiePie, and then goes on and seems to be shooting all these people. And I have no reason to believe he wasn't shooting all these people. And then there's his manifesto, which is equally criminalized. I don't know what the excuse for banning the video itself is, other than it's disrespectful to the victims or whatever, but to ban a manifesto, and that's banned. You can't share that or you get 14 years in prison.
Man, that's absolutely preposterous, isn't it? Especially since we have what purports to be the Sirhan diary, right? Mm-hmm. We purportedly have Arthur Bremer's diary, from his May 1972 shooting of George Wallace, and assuming no official forgery and redaction of those kinds of documents, which may well have taken place, the kind of analysis of this information from that era, as well as a more high-tech era, might lead in directions other than the ones that mainstream media wants us to have, as we analyze certain patterns and similarities that begin to undermine the official stories.
Right. So, like I say, I watched the video. I've read about the first 15 pages of the manifesto. But I haven't really researched his various links. I haven't looked into this too much because ain't no one got time for that. But because there's other stuff going on. But who is this guy? We've heard he traveled to a rather unusual collection of countries,
including Israel.
Was he the only shooter? Because initially, and this is common, you often hear this when there's shoot 'em ups and crime things, that there's more than one shooter, and then it turns out that there's one shooter, and maybe there really was one shooter, or maybe there are other shooters who are just being conveniently forgotten about. So do you have any information on that?
Well, the interesting thing on that is that, of course, the mainstream media is now focusing on Brendan Tarrant, or it was Tarrant, I think, was his alleged name. But initial media reports were talking about the arrest of at least three other people, two other men and a woman. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that as I've just glanced at this in the last couple of days, the information about who these other people were has conveniently largely gone off radar. Why? I don't have the answer as to why, but that just adds another piece to the puzzle. And then, of course, you've identified the very thing that I started looking into in regard to this guy as it comes to credible reports on his international travels.
Okay, and we'll need to talk about that, including Israel. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Very good.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to the show. So we were talking about this, what's his name, Trenton or something?
Yes.
And his passport, which has stamps from all sorts of... it's an interesting array of countries. So Israel was on it for 9 days, apparently. Pakistan, North Korea, Spain, and of course, you know, one person or one story I saw... Rose, they probably made a lot of very spurious points that you can't read too deeply into, but, you know, the North Korean embassy in Spain was raided some time ago, and whatever, I don't know. But an interesting array of countries. Any final thoughts on that before we move on?
Well, as I was saying to you during the commercial break, I will post on Mark Dankoff's America, and we'll get it up at nationalbugle.com, that Tasnim interview with me, with a couple of additional links put into my version of that interview, which will help flush some of this out. But just as one comparison, then we could move on to Venezuela. When you look at this guy's travelogue, this Brendan Tarrant's travelogue, it's quite fascinating to compare it with the James Earl Ray narrative in terms of what William Pepper later uncovered about James Earl Ray and his movements in a year leading up to the King assassination. Mm-hmm. William Pepper, of course, who was King's attorney and a very bright guy, has written a trilogy on the King assassination mm-hmm. that provides strong circumstantial evidence that James Earl Ray was not even the shooter of Martin Luther King, but had been set up for purposes similar to our friend Oswald, well, you know, with the Kennedy assassination.
That's what Jesse Jackson said. Jesse Jackson, as I recall, said he didn't believe James Earl Ray was the shooter.
No, and William Pepper actually fingers Jesse Jackson by name as the probable source of inside information, which let certain people know where King would be staying that night. So William Pepper happens to think that Jesse Jackson was a very, very convenient Judas Iscariot in this whole thing. And that's William Pepper bringing forth that in print, not me.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know these things. So no comment. But, okay, we have Venezuela. So apparently President Bolton is he's engaging in gunboat diplomacy or saber-rattling diplomacy with our fearless leader, Vladimir Putin, who is sending, 100 advisors to Venezuela, and somehow that's too close. I mean, the idea of sending advisors into the same hemisphere as the United States, when the United States has incorporated former Soviet republics into NATO. What's President Bolton thinking?
Yeah, you just underscored what idiocy is involved in this Bolton Elliott Abrams enterprise in Venezuela. We won't talk about the 100 other places where these guys have worked their black magic, just Venezuela for a moment. But then it, of course, begs the question as to why Donald Trump has these kinds of people running his foreign policy. But it also gets into Venezuela itself in terms of the fact that the Russians, in their own way, are fully entitled with what's been going on and what the United States neocon establishment has been doing in Venezuela to counter this in the way, in at least a few of the ways that they did in Syria. Now we are reading stories about Russian plots appearing in Venezuela. You have, as I understand, a few hundred now Russian troops in Venezuela. And last but not least, there is information that is starting to emerge there that you might even have because Press Television reported this today, an imaging company which is affiliated with Israel. The name of it is in that Press Television story, which we posted at National Bugle.
Imaging company? What is imaging involving?
Satellite photography. Okay. And the name of it, I can maybe pop up here on my
screen. Well, we'll be going to the break in a minute or so anyway. So
sure.
We'll get
it. But you might even have the introduction of a Russian S-300 into the picture in Venezuela if these reports at a Press Television Iran, merely reporting what this is Ray-affiliated imaging company has said about what's going on there. And we emphasize that's what Press Television is saying. They're not confirming that this is true. But if true, it suggests that Putin is not simply sitting by idly and allowing Bolton and Abrams and company to carve up Venezuela in the same way that they attempted to carve up Syria. And suddenly got their noses made when the Russians, quite rightly and fully in compatibility with international law, sent their troops and responded militarily to this illegal foreign mercenary operation going on in Syria to overthrow the legitimate government there that was obviously being backed with the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia. So the bad news is that Trump has decided to allow Bolton and Elliott Abrams to make their personal sandbox out of Venezuela. The good news is that Vladimir Putin and Russia have other ideas, and the neocon foreign policy is about to be strip-searched, not only in the Middle East, but also in Latin America.
Okay, well, we're going off the break, and then afterwards maybe ask why Donald Trump has volunteered to be the campaign manager for President Bolton. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And welcome back to the show. So while we're still on the subject of Venezuela and Russia, you know, it seems odd that you would have, well, everything seems odd, no surprise, but you've got Vladimir Putin, Russia has really pulled itself back up from the abyss that the Jewish oligarchs had thrown it into. And it's a strong country, it's a proud country. It's always had a much smaller economy than the United States. But its military, in particular, has really come back, and they've got high-tech weaponry, and they seem to have a well-trained military and everything, good discipline. Whereas the United States, we're using our military in order to underwrite the sexual, what is it, the regendering assignment surgery for transsexuals. So any transsexual or wannabe transsexual can sign up for the military and get hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of these conversion therapies and reassignment surgeries. You know, we've got all this affirmative action in the military, and of course the flag officers are all they're all screened and vetted by the Zionist occupied Congress. So it would seem to me we're a mess. The last people that you'd want to be picking a fight with would be the Russians. Is that, am I just crazy? Am I seeing things wrong?
No, I don't think you are. And the reason I say that is not only do you and I agree on this, but look at the number of other people of considerable stature who agree with us on this in regard to what this means. You know, my own father, and I think everybody knows this, was a United States Air Force colonel who served in World War II and in Vietnam at least 12 years in the Air Force Intelligence Agency that was running the U-2 spy flights for the CIA during the Cold War and all of that other stuff. My dad was a major player as a young man in the Berlin airlift under both Kurt LeMay and General Lucius Clay. So my dad's military career really spanned everything from Pearl Harbor to the very end of the Vietnam War, and then points beyond where he was serving in Iran and later in Saudi Arabia with Lockheed. And when you look at that generation of military men, these fellows certainly from time to time made the erroneous mistake, but a benevolent mistake with sad implications, that they were serving the national interest of the United States when sometimes they were serving something other than that and didn't know it. Not without going too far down that road, it seems that we now have an American military that is increasingly designed to be politically correct, where whether it's the LGBTQ agenda that was officially, that sort of thing was officially outlawed as being acceptable to the American military when my dad was in it for 32 years. But now when it comes to this whole internationalization, globalization, Zionization of American foreign policy, the American military and this bozo NATO organization that should have been put out of business after the end of the Cold War are now chiefly involved in all of these destabilization programs and invasions and wars of counterinsurgency and occupation solely at the behest of multinational corporations and the Zionist entity and the post-Bretton Woods financial system, which includes our Zionist friends at the Fed, and of course all of the related enemies or entities that are our enemies, the IMF, the World Bank, the Import-Export Bank, and all the rest of it. What we in fact are doing is not only illegal in terms of trying to overthrow legitimate governments, that seems to be the neocon Zionist stock and trade for a very, very long period of time, much longer than anyone has realized when we start taking a closer look at the sad things in our past history, where it was less obvious that that's what we were doing, but we were doing it, to the whole issue of the national bankruptcy of the United States financially. John W. Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute analyzed this economically in terms of our latest military budget and the latest intel approved by Trump that are leading us in the precise direction that Dr. David Stockman has indicated, and that is that in the next 10 years, the American national debt will soar to at least $40 trillion, and that in conjunction with the reaction internationally to what we're doing, where, for example, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa are working toward the development of at least one alternative currency, if not more than one, to the American dollar as the reserve currency of the world. And at that particular point, as Paul Craig Roberts has put it, the game is over. At that point, the United States will be so deeply in debt, the reserve status of the dollar will be seriously undermined, which threatens to bring the whole house of cards coming down in regard to the Fed's fiat money machine. And when countries can react to this imperialistic Zionist, neo-interventionist, neoconservative foreign policy of our Zionist-occupied government with currencies of their own, trading blocks and currency blocks that are specifically designed to counter what our beast has been doing, which is their right as sovereign countries to assert their own freedom over this, then you look domestically at American dissidents who understand what's going on and see what we're doing to their own communities, their own families, their own lives. There could be, and I think will be at some point, an internal uprising in the United States on the part of a lot of average people when it comes to the full implications of what they have not seen before. Mm-hmm. The point is that the House of Cards is progressively starting to come down, which is why many of us on the anti-New World Order, America First right, have come to see, irrespective of the claims about Putin's Russia and Iran and Venezuela and so forth, that their controlled media is spinning, we have no real fight with these people. There are many areas in which we can cooperate with these governments and stay out of their backyards and stay out of monkeying around with their country's internal political situations, because that's a part of who we were historically. Our founding fathers envisioned the old American Republic, and that is not the American Republic, by the way, of Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That is not the American Republic of the Zionist neocons. That is not the American Republic that is envisioned by Elliot Abrams and John Bolton. And as Donald Trump has said, he wanted the America First emphasis again. Nonetheless, we see in all these different areas, of which Venezuela seems to be the latest, the complete undermining of the Trump foreign policy by these same criminals operating for the same criminal cabal that has turned the United States into a militaristic, aggressive, imperialistic power in foreign policy, at the same time that they are fully a part of the move in the within the United States to create a domestic police state and to get legitimate dissent, even on Facebook, off of YouTube, off of Google, off of Twitter, and so forth and so on. It's quite obvious what's going on. Those of us who think we ought to be the captains of our own ship and we ought to stay out of other people's business and stop having our currency hijacked and stop financing wars that are not in our national interest, where we should not be risking either our treasure or the lives of our kids. This same government that is doing what it's doing in Venezuela, mm-hmm. in Iran, in the Ukraine, in Eastern Europe, and so forth, is the same government that has its dagger, unfortunately, aimed at the American, the throat of the average American and his family, his or her family. So this is what my reading of this thing. And if Paul Craig Roberts is correct and Buchanan is correct, and if Philip Giraldi of the Council for the National Interest is correct, if Ron Paul is correct, and you and I are correct, Dr. Lattery, this whole thing is going to collapse. The question is what the fallout is going to be from that collapse. That's yet to be seen, but it's going to be draconian.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's the things that Paul Craig Roberts was writing about with the possibility of a major decline or collapse of American economic hegemony. And, you know, you have basically a developing alliance between Russia and China, and they really complement each other well. I mean, they both have a certain amount of economic strength, but China, with its massive population and massive domestic market, is on the verge of surpassing the United States as the largest economy, even though most of that economy has to occupy itself with providing for the housing and food and clothing and everything else for its own population. In terms of military, you know, their combined military budgets are still dwarfed by the American military budget, but the American military budget it's bloated and it's not efficient. And, you know, okay, the money that they spend on gender reassignment surgeries may be a drop in the bucket, but it's, you know, so much of our military goes to supporting this archipelago of bases. And how useful are these bases really? And they are expensive. So I don't know. I think that if you look historically, the United States developed kind of a hegemonic system in the Cold War, and it was a hegemonic system for the free world. So it wasn't for the whole world. But the two main economic rivals to the United States in the Cold War were Japan and West Germany. And these were two countries that basically the United States occupied. It had tens of thousands, in the case of Germany, even up to through the 80s, hundreds of thousands of troops stationed there. So these rivals didn't have all that much freedom of action. And then after the dismemberment of the Soviet Union and the collapsing, the enforced collapsement by Jewish bankers and whatnot of the post-Soviet Russian economy, and, you know, China was still an economic basket case through the 1980s. You had this era of unipolar moment in world history, and the United States dominated the world. But it really doesn't dominate the world anymore. And, you know, it's being overpassed. overtaken economically by China, Russia. You know, Russia during the Cold War, it did have a big military base in Cameron Bay, Vietnam, and of course it was placing some missiles in Cuba, in the, you know, the Bay of Pigs, not the Bay of Pigs, in the Cuban Missile Crisis in the early 60s, but for the most part, didn't have a far-flung military empire. Its troops, to the point that, except they were deployed, were close to its own borders in neighboring countries, whether it's Afghanistan or Czechoslovakia or whatever. So things are changing. There's no reason to suppose that the United States hegemony is going to persist. And we're at a, you know, we are at a moment where I think a lot of our people, like John Bolton, don't realize, they're not smart enough to realize that things have changed, and that they can't go around dictating to the rest of the world the way they did 20 years ago or 30 years ago during the Gulf War, the Iraq War.
Well, I think that's absolutely correct. And not only are we no longer capable of having the kind of hegemony that we, speaking of the United States institutionally, that we had after the Second World War, we shouldn't have that hegemony.
No.
Because, in fact, we are dealing now with a different world, and we are in a situation where the very, and this is a point that the old right used to make, the Robert Tafts of the world, this is now being renewed by people like John W. Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute and his very fine economic analysis of what this military budget and intel budget expansion are going to mean. But between Whitehead and David Stockman and all the rest of us, we understand that this kind of foreign policy is unsustainable.
Yeah, unsustainable.
The British Empire found that out,
right?
The old Soviet Union found that out. And this dangerous doctrine of American exceptionalism, which sadly enough is related to Israeli Zionist exceptionalism in the mind of not only neocons, but a lot of these Protestant evangelicals who, for unfathomable reasons, support this lunacy, we have a circumstance where the very national security establishment that we are told is guarding our freedom is not only engaged in the business, increasingly, of denying other peoples their freedoms to have the governments they want, and to control their own natural resources, and not to have American CIA agents and black operations people and the American NSA and the American Army and Navy and Air Force Marine Corps meddling in their yard every 5 minutes,
right,
it seems.
And when you talk about unsustainable, how sustainable could it possibly be if you've got an empire, an erstwhile empire like the United States, that's not even pursuing its own imperial interest, but it's pursuing the interests of Israel and this hostile Jewish-dominated elite.
Yeah, and this is the point I was making on Duke's show on rents. Why is it that we're looking at the people who are such ravenous supporters of this American imperialistic, militaristic, interventionist, pro-Zionist foreign policy are not only incapable of understanding how this is undermining our national security, undermining the value of our currency, undermining our attempts to get our national debt under control, overextending our military in places where it is doing anything but guarding the true American national defense interest. But these same people, folks, who by George don't understand that at the same time they're supporting this garbage, much to the long-term detriment of their own country and the safety and security of their own people and the economy of their own people. But by George, so many times these people would say the same things you and I would say about this culturally Marxist infiltration of American domestic politics and culture. These are the same people. It's a seamless garment backing both of these entities that Protestant evangelicals will stand there and quite rightly decry the San Antonio City Council here in San Antonio, Texas, and its Jewish mayor, quite rightly, for saying that Chick-fil-A has to be kicked out of the San Antonio International Airport. But these, they will decry that. But nonetheless, none of them want to recognize the larger narrative of Jewish media spin and Jewish institutional infiltration of our political and economic and cultural system with this cultural Marxism that's being enforced at the point of a legal gun. They don't see it or won't see it. And so this is until those connections are made, the people of this country, sadly enough, are going to continue going down a road that is leading to the internal demise of the old American Republic in any sense of the word, as well as leading to our impending global demise by getting into wars that are unsustainable.
Yep, going downhill fast and wondering what they're doing in that handbasket. I think the Chinese and the Russians, those governments are pursuing policies that are aimed at increasing their state strength and improving the lot for their nation, their people, and we simply... Okay, we'll be back right after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from...
And we are back. And so, did you have a thought about that, what we were just talking about on the other side of the break?
Well, one of the pieces of information that fits into this larger, maddening puzzle we've posted under War and Foreign Policy at NationalBugle.com, it's from Defense News today, and it's entitled, NATO Funds Massive U.S. Military Depot in West Poland. We might say, what's going on here? I think you can clearly see what's going on here. This is a part of the larger craziness that is being repeated in Venezuela, that's being repeated in the Middle East, that we see being repeated on Putin's border, western border. At the same time, it's being repeated in the southern underbelly borders Russia. This stuff is craziness, it's counterproductive, and it's going to lead potentially to a global tragedy where the ultimate loser is going to be the American people along with everybody else.
Okay, we just have a few minutes left. Is there an update on South Africa?
Yes, I have reposted this just to get it to the top of our war and foreign policy page. My good friend Dr. Don Boyes, B-O-Y-S, he's an independent independent Baptist pastor with a legitimate PhD. He has a fascinating news site called CSN News, Common Sense News. The American Thinker has republished Dr. Boyes' very fine post on the deadly truth about South Africa. Read that, folks, and in conjunction with that article, take a look at a video that we have also posted, part one, dealing with this whole issue of the civil defense initiative for South African farmers, white South African farmers. Take a look at that video, because that gets into the whole question of the fact that as the ANC government, a black racist government, a government largely dominated by the hammer and sickle, if we go back and examine the real roots of people like Nelson Mandela, Winnie Mandela, the communist Jew Joe Slovo, and others operating in South Africa years ago. This has now come to a point where these Afrikaner farm families are being murdered. There was a case just before I arrived at Durban in 2012 involving the brutal slaying by machete of an older white Lutheran couple that was a part of this German Lutheran parish where I was staying in Durban. They were farm people. They had farmed this land for literally decades in their family. They were brutally murdered, hacked to death. This is not only continuing on a much larger scale in South Africa, but the official expropriation of their expropriation of their land by this ANC-dominated black racist government continues apace. In that regard, there is a foundation in Texas that I understand is working with these white Afrikaner farm families in many cases to bring them legally to the United States and to resettle them. If people want more information about that, because I'm not officially connected to them, they can write me through my markdankoff.com site, which will lead them to my Hotmail address, and on an individual basis, I can at least tell them what I know of this foundation. People so choose to do so, they can contact them directly.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That concludes this episode. I look forward to having you back on again. I want to remind everybody to go to nationalbugle.com. That's where you're going to find all of these great stories that Mark Dankoff is posting there.
Take a look at that Rachel Maddow picture there.
Yeah, she's. I guess she has to go into therapy and yeah, that's right. She needs to. She needs intervention so she doesn't gnaw her balls off. Is that?
That's right. You said that I didn't. But Dr. Slattery is developing what will be a MAME division. Is that how you pronounce that? MAME?
MAME? Yeah.
MAME or MAME?
MAME.
An entire MAME division will be up there at National Bugle at some point for all the great pictures that are coming.
Okay, and I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.